Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on spiritual, metaphysical, paranormal, and healing topics. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona, Arizona, where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show. Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on spirituality, metaphysics, paranormal, and healing topics. Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums and healers in Sedona, Arizona. We are Roslyn Reynolds, myself, Ivory Lanoue, and Terry Ann Russell. We have offices in Sedona, Arizona, where we see clients from all over the world. Today's topic is the Blue Avians. Before we get started, I want to just say hello to our fans in Qatar. That's very exciting that you're following our show and enjoying it. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Glad to know you're there. Terry Ann, you are our resident alien race expert, so I'll let you start.
So blue avians, I heard about blue avians a long time ago. I don't know if you're familiar or our fans are familiar with Corey Good, but he had a lot of connection with Ra, the blue avian. So a lot of them I read actually when I was doing some research, their names end in the Ra. And so they have a lot of connection to the law of one, which I didn't know.
Interesting. Well, I have that whole book series that was given to me by a client who said, I just feel like you need to have this. I have been visited by these blue sphere people, as they're also called. And I didn't know who they were. You know, I wasn't like I was saying, blue avians, please come visit me. No, just as usual, I'm lying in bed and communicating with angels and something else comes in. So, but they were very high frequency. And I remember telling Ed, Ross's partner, that these things came in that were these blue orbs, kind of royal blue crystalline with like a, more like crystals in the center of it. And Ed's like, that's the blue sphere people. I'm like, I had to look it up. I'm like, oh, you know, they stayed for quite a while, maybe 45 minutes every time they came in. And that went on for a while. So, you know, I was getting visited by him and didn't even know it. Go ahead, Roz.
Well, Terry Ann just posted a picture within the last couple weeks, maybe. It had this bright blue orb in it.
Was it me or Terry Ann?
Oh, I thought it was Terry Ann. I just remembered noticing it. I thought, who's that? Must be the blue avians.
Because I took a picture. I'm selling some curtains that were in my living room. And before I took them down, I took a picture to sell them. And there's a blue orb about this size in the picture. I was showing it to my friends the other night. And then the picture I took a couple minutes later, it's like up here, blue orb.
I think Terry Ann had one too. Maybe you're both, maybe they're flying in to hang out with you guys.
I don't know. But I did find it interesting, Terry Ann, what you were saying when I was looking this up too, back when Ed first was like, oh, that's the blue sphere. There are ties to ancient Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, and to Ra was, you know, they say that Ra was a blue avian and that's why he had the bird-like head. Mm-hmm. What I think is interesting is that when you read this, when you look up this race, they say that their bird-like features are something that they took on to make themselves more relatable to humans. But I don't think humans consider a bird head on a human to be totally relatable. It's like, yes, I know they're interdimensional beings, like are extra dimensional beings. They can be in many different forms, but I think it's hilarious that they thought, here's something humans will be able to connect with and accept us. Let's put a bird head on a human.
Maybe ancient Egypt days, they were good with that, but not now. People would freak out, right?
You think they would have put a cat head on him because the ancient Egypts would have been like, oh, yes. Mm-hmm. So what else about this interesting race of beings?
I like the blue avians a lot. They're very high frequency, very caring. Like, I just feel like when I've connected with their energy, they're just very loving and peaceful too. They're really here at this time too, especially like a lot of races, to help us ascend through this ascension that we're going through right now.
I do think I agree with a lot of things that I've read. The caring, the love is definitely there, and they have very similar frequency to angels when they come in. I read that one of the things that they're really trying to help us with is the preservation of humans and the earth itself. Well, we need it. We are in a bad state of ways right now. We are pushing the limits of what humans can endure and what our planet can endure. So bring it on, blue avians. Do whatever you can do. I'm open for it.
Absolutely.
Also, they're supposedly like some of the strongest and peaceful protectors. And I wondered if you knew anything more about that. When they say that, do they mean of beings in general or humans specifically?
Beings in general. So they do work with a lot of different planets, a lot of new planets that are coming, you know, so those newer planets, they're having the blue avians, from what I've been told, work with them. So there is that connection of oneness. There's that unity. So there's no separation from early on.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So they're watching over us. They're following our progress. It must be like watching the world's most dramatic, worst soap opera you could imagine. Like, oh, really? They're doing this again? Haven't we been through this before?
Haven't we tried to show them?
I know.
Yeah, over and over. And when are we going to learn? I mean, this is it.
I know. I mean, I'm a believer in past lives. It's been put in my face too many times, too powerfully for me not to believe in that. But that doesn't mean we're not supposed to preserve our planet and make it a better place when we leave. I look at it, you might think this is awful, and I don't mean it awful, but I grew up camping. And like, I've been camping thousands of times in my life. And one rule is you leave it cleaner than you got there. So I think it's true for your time here on the planet. You leave it cleaner than you got there. It's a pretty simple rule, right? Clean up after yourself.
I've always done that with homes too. You want to leave it better than when you left. So I always leave some sort of like grid, whatever I've done with crystals around the property and stuff. So I think that that's very important too. I like that.
That's part of it, I think. You know, it can expand so much further. So what is the term? I have it written here because I hadn't heard it before, and I'm not sure what it means. Extra dimensional. How is that different than multidimensional? Do either of you know?
I've not heard that term. I've heard interdimensional, multidimensional. I would think extra dimensional. I believe what I know is they don't actually have a planet where blue avians come from.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the extra dimensional is because they don't have a planet. I'm not sure.
Okay. I just hadn't heard that term before. That was a new one. I wasn't sure what to think about that one. So what do they look like most of the time? Like, have they come to a place where one thing said, if you saw them on the street, you wouldn't even know that they're an alien. And then other things are saying they have bird-like features. I would notice bird-like features. Even if they just had like a beak of a nose, I would notice that. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think what I've noticed through all the stories is the eyes. There's a distinction in the eyes and the color of the eyes, the size of the eyes. So that might be a distinction that they would. From what I read too, though, that like long, lanky, like my daughter has like these long, skinny arms, you know, I read that too.
What is the eye color, Tyrion?
The eye color, piercing blue is what I saw.
There's a lot of that in alien races. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I'm clearly not one. I've got hazel eyes. So there you go. So what I found is that it says, and this was like researching back again when Ed first enlightened me, oh, those are the blue sphere people, that they do appear physically as blue bird-like creatures, but they come through, like they travel in these blue spheres. But I wondered, like, if the sphere I'm seeing is six feet in diameter, is that really what they're traveling in? Or is it that, like, am I letting my human self get in the way of thinking about travel because being interdimensional beings, they don't need a giant spaceship like we need to go to the moon or to Mars. They just need something like a field to surround them.
Don't you think our limited mind, our lens always sort of skews it some way or another? They can't not be involved.
Yes. And so, you know, whenever people say things, well, that's not possible because it works this way. And I always tell them, that's how it works now. But think about 100 years ago, could people have foreseen 3D printing? Could they have foreseen fax machines? You know, a lot of things we take for granted, and things like faxes, and why I just dated myself, but when I was first in business, we used fax machines. And now that's obsolete, and we've gone on to other things. So technology moves so quickly, I think we limit ourselves. And I think in this way, I really was, because it kind of wigs me out in a good way, like maybe freaks me out, amazes me that inside those bubbles that were hovering over my bed for 45 minutes was an alien creature. Like, I thought the bubble was the alien creature. I didn't realize there was like a bird-like being in there, but I was talking to it, you know, because I could feel that it was good. And we always come back to, like, how does it feel?
Yeah. Yeah. And because they're, you said, at high frequency, like angels, you can really feel that resonates within your field too. So that's why we always say that, right? Pay attention to how it feels.
Yeah. Because as a child, I had a lot of experiences with alien beings and UFOs, stuff from very young, from a toddler age. And most of it freaked me out, but my daughter was so different about it. And I was always so impressed and amazed with her, where some creatures would come to her, and she's 4 years old. She's like, the little men came and played with me again last night. I'm like, really? Yep. They floated me out the window. Did you have fun? Oh yes. Oh yes. So, you know, she's just like very matter of fact about it. Hola. And for me, I was like all freaked out, I think, but I don't feel freaked out anymore. I just feel like there's something there. I don't know what it is. I haven't experienced it before, but I'm curious and I'm interested and excited about it, because I want to be a part. If there's some galactic effort out there to improve mankind and our planet, I want to be a part of it. Maybe we already are at Sedona Soul Sisters and we don't even know it. With all the people who come in to see Roz, I was sent to see Roz for the code. You know, I think that there's something going on there.
Sure shocked me.
You're a little bit muffled, Roz. I couldn't quite hear what you said.
Oh, sorry.
What did you say?
I said it sure shocked me.
There we go. I remember that. Through. You're like, these people are coming in. And so, you know, these kind of things, sometimes we're part of a bigger plan, a bigger effort, a bigger coalition than we have any idea of. And Tarianne, do you know anybody that, like, has come to see you that ended up being Blue Avian Starseed?
I have not yet, no.
Do you think your daughter is?
I think they're very rare because of the high frequency that they must hold. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know about her. It's hard for me to read her a lot of times. She's so complex. I've never really tuned into what she was.
It's hard when it's your own child.
Yeah.
You're so close to that child that maybe it needs like an outside read.
But I do believe a lot of them are very high frequency. A lot of the crystal children that have come in and that are coming in still, they're coming in with that remembrance. You're hearing a lot more stories about children that are saying, oh, well, when I pulled up out of hell, and the kid has never heard the word hell before, you know, or I described, you know, a life in the 20s or whatever it was. But these children are having these past life memories. I think that that's amazing.
They're also having very clear memories of planning their lifetimes with their angels on the other side. And like, when I was planning to come here, I depict you as my mommy. I looked down, I saw you, and I picked you. So, you know, there's too much of this out there from little innocent children who have no idea. And their parents are just like, I've met some of these parents and I'm like, did you send this child to me? They're like very down home, earth bound people. They're like, no, we don't know anything about this. He saw you. He had to come see you. You know, we see that kind of stuff in our business. And I'm sure many of you out there who are also practitioners have experienced this as well. There's no explanation, no earthly explanation for some of these things that are happening with these children. So maybe the Blue Avians are just now coming in because they need to be so high frequency. I'll have to keep my eyes open, but if they come back to me, I will know who it is. I don't know. I don't know why they came to me. I have no idea why they came to me. But
think about it. You know, if the Blue Avians are that really oneness and unity consciousness, like if you think about, and without getting into the vaccines, I'm just using an example, like the people that are pro-vaccine or not pro-vaccine, you know, the Blue Avians are really neutral. If you can look at the Blue Avians, like as the middle of that road, they're not saying this or this, but that's that unity consciousness now that they're trying to bring in at our, on our planet at this time.
Yeah. It would be interesting if some of you out there listening have had experiences with them, contact us, let us know. You know, we'll do a little update about that on the next show that we are talking about alien races. We'll do this until we can't think of any other alien races or topics to talk about. Then we'll probably start over. And
well, I think there's a lot, and I think there's a lot that we don't know about. And most recently, my knowledge has expanded through the galactics, and I've learned that I am part of the High Council. And so I'm learning, I'm just in this really big growth phase right now. So there's a lot of things that I don't know, but they're coming into me and I'm starting to learn what they are and what they mean. So, yeah, you know, I think there's so much we don't know.
Good, because then you can keep us supplied with with topics for our first of the month show. So did you also know that the history, like mythology, of the Blue Avians also goes into the Hopi Indians, and that Eagle Kachina, you've seen that, you know, I actually have one in my living room made by the Hopi tribe. They have a bird shape. And so that's actually based on this Blue Avian race. And the Hopis have so much in their culture and their mythology and their belief system about aliens. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense, you know, that so do the Yavapais that are here in this area.
So when you see the totem, usually the bird is at the top.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've been seeing this stuff for so long and just didn't realize that it had some tie to alien culture. Yeah. But there's also a Hindu cult, and they have a divine creature called a Garuda with a head and wings of an eagle. So this is something that, you know, has kind of gone through other areas of the world, too. And there's got to be something to it. I keep referring this, and if those of you out there, probably like if you're my generation, where you were a teenager in the 70s and these books, the In Search of Ancient Astronauts came out, I was obsessed with them. I devoured those things till the pages fell apart. I had to buy new copies. I was obsessed with them. And there's all kinds of things in there about our ancient culture and signs like carvings and evidence and, you know, those giant kind of etchings or petroglyphs in the desert that are enormous beings, like animal beings that you can't even tell what it is unless you're high up in the air. How did they do that in ancient times? You know, how did they draw something they couldn't have known what they're drawing, you know? So there's all kinds of things out there, including they do show pictures of these eagle beings in different cultures. And then in Greek mythology, it kind of has a negative connotation, but the figure of the harpy, they think, is really associated with this too. And there's also some similarity with the angels in the Bible. So think about angels being winged beings. So there's actually a belief out there that the Blue Avians are angels. And I can understand why they'd say that. And maybe it's true because honestly, they don't come through and go, hello, we don't look quite the same, but we are angels like you're used to. No, they don't do that. You know, but they have wings. Maybe that's where it came from.
That's a possibility, especially, you know, that really resonates with me, especially since they have that high frequency. They don't have a planet, so they're really not like other alien races where they have a home base. That makes total sense.
It's interesting, and comes back to that frequency thing. They feel like angels, and so they have the highest of intentions, the highest frequency of love and light. I'm okay if they're angels. You know, I'm okay with it. We know they're celestial beings, but we don't really know completely what that means. You know, we know that that means God or source created them. So, you know, there could be so much more to it than we know or that's written about. And I just think it's good to keep an open mind. But for one thing, for sure, they are of the light. There's no doubt about that. So if you're visited by one of these, don't be afraid, because they are extremely high vibe. So have you heard of the Sphere Being Alliance? Have either one of you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. I have.
Yeah, you probably have through Ed, Roz.
Yeah, more through Ed. And Ed has watched some programming with Corey Good, and he's talked about the Sphere Being Alliance. I'm not that familiar with it, because I'm not always paying attention when Ed is watching that. But kind of like of good intention group. And that's about all I can recall of hearing about it.
It's made up of avians, but they're from the sixth to the ninth dimension. So you're a frequency.
Very high frequency.
Very high frequency. So no wonder, you know, so it's kind of interesting, like how many alien races are there out there? Does anybody even know? Like, is there any idea about it? Maybe Corey Good could answer our question.
If you listen,
we'll call them and have them on.
I got to fix something. You guys go ahead. Talk away. I got to fix my microphone. It's doing something weird.
Okay. So what else about the blue avians? They're kind and loving, peaceful and humble. So you can see those traits too in starseeds as well. So if you look at starseeds, or you know somebody that exhibit those traits, a lot of times they could be a blue avian. Again, we always go back to the same thing about the nationality. You're not going to have, like, Andromedans I've read are always skinny. Now I'm Andromedan and I'm not skinny. So it's like, you're not going to have every aspect of every race.
It makes sense. One thing that really stuck out for me is learning that they communicate with telepathic ability. And that's true actually for a lot of alien races that have come to me, is that I know I'm being communicated with, but it's not through words. And they stay for a long time. Why would they just hover there and not be doing anything? You know, there, I can feel something happening and I know I'm receiving something, but I don't hear words.
Okay. See, I hear words. So a lot of times when I get like activations or downloads, I'll hear words through it. And the light code language that I write, I actually channeled one before the show for the blue avians. Where is it? So if you're on YouTube, you may be able to see it.
And go look at the YouTube video so you can take a look at that. I'll try to get Terri Ann to send that to me, and we can post it on our blog too. And
so I get those codes as codes, written codes. I don't speak it, although I have heard blue avian light codes spoken, and it does sound like a bird. It's like clicking and that sound almost, are you familiar like what the cat does when a cat sees a bird and make that clicking sound with their jaw?
I got to tell you something. When I had my spiritual awakening, like when I was seeing all these interdimensional beings, it all began one night in the early 80s with me hearing this clicking noise. I was awakened by a clicking noise. And then I started seeing these beings coming in, and it happened for years every night, like floating through the wall from outside and different forms they would take. But always I associate that, like even now, if I hear that clicking noise, I'm on high alert. I'm like, okay, something's happening here, you know, but I didn't know that had anything to do with some sort of language. So that's interesting. I never knew what it was. I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Something Corey Good talks about that I thought was really interesting is that, you know, along with the telepathic communications, sometimes they communicate with a light touch. And that light touch is to induce a positive physical and emotional response. And I wondered, like, there's times when I've told Roz, like, I'll be almost asleep and I'll feel this light touch on me, very gentle. And it feels like two fingers, very light touch. And it feels like they're doing something, and I know it's something good, so I don't worry about it. Or, you know, sometimes I can go right to sleep while they're doing it. And I always thought that was like a healing thing, but I wonder if it's more, I've been getting like more of a, you know, just to give me some sort of physical response to their presence, but it feels really good, you know, very gentle. Mm-hmm. And that they act as a single intelligent entity. The light side of the Borg, the Borgs of the dark acting as one, these alien beings act as one, but they're all of the light. Do you think they're going to help us with our ascension process here on the planet?
Absolutely. They're definitely trying to get into that space where they're helping us have that unity consciousness again, coming back to one. It comes back to one always. You know, if we can become one within ourselves, right, we spread that out to the world. And the more neutral we can be, the better. So I absolutely believe that they're here helping us with our ascension at this time.
I'm counting on it. Roz, go ahead.
Well, going back to the languages, I just was thinking about and all the encounters that I have had, you know, I don't think I ever hear any spoken, but I see symbols, I see shapes. So I think you have to kind of open your vision, your perspective a little bit, that, you know, whatever our idea of language is, what they're communicating. And all the encounters I have had have been telepathic. I know what they're doing. I mean, the first encounter I really remember when I was 10, which was actually, you know, an amazing medical healing that they did on me. I was at that time pretty much bedridden, and I never heard anything, but I could see their expression. I could see their eyes. I mean, it's like as soon as we make eye contact, click, we were connected. And it's very interesting because I look back on that. And of course, I was a kid, but I had absolutely no fear. No, not even that. The only thing I ever remember saying out loud during that whole process was, what do you want? Why are you here? And so I think we have to kind of really expand into, I don't think of the old languages of the Middle East and stuff, the Sanskrit, they did shapes, and there's all kinds of, it's a language within itself, and there's all kinds of communication when that's going on. And the one time I can really recall seeing that so clearly was I had a situation where I sort of think I wasn't present for about a half an hour. And when I became aware and kind of woke up, I had been driving and I was in heavy traffic, which is just mind blowing. And I just recall seeing all of this obvious written, you know, very specific symbols. And it was kind of, when I think back on that, I mean, that's been a few years ago too, but I think back on it and I go, okay, obviously I downloaded something, and whatever it was obviously had an impact on how I do things. So I think sometimes we want language to be in English, you know, like we're talking about, what we want and what we think should be happening is just not, that's not the deal.
I totally agree with that, Roz. You know, same for me, is that they're communicating, but they're not using words. But think back on ancient languages like the Egyptians, where their each symbol is a word or a thought, not a letter. And so I think a lot of these symbols were being shown, they are communicating with us. We just don't know what those symbols mean yet. And I also am shown a lot of sacred geometry. So I think that is a language and we don't know it yet. You know, I think that maybe we know it on a very deep soul level, but not consciously yet. I just receive it. I just try to be really open when these beings come through and just receive what they want to give me. As long as they're of the light, I'm open to receiving what they have to give. Go ahead, Tyrianne.
I was going to say, I like to think about it, like when I describe light codes, like energy patterns, they're emitting these frequencies, right? And we're receiving, whether it's healing or activations or downloads. And we don't necessarily have to understand that, but it's coordinating what our energy is, if that makes sense, if I'm describing it correctly. That's how I see it.
I can't judge that. I'm going to say, yes, you're describing it correctly. So one thing I actually learned, and I want to correct myself, because I said like those blue spheres are like a spacecraft, but they're not. They're more of a device. And I want to make that clear, like somehow they travel to us. And what Corey Good says, because he's the one who's received so much information from this particular race, is that these devices known as the spheres have been dispatched to protect our planet. But so I don't know if the blue avians are in it or operating them, like speaking through them. I really don't know. You know, just because they've come to me doesn't mean I'm the world's authority on the blue avians or the spheres by any means, but it just means I've had some good experiences. Let's talk. We'll have to find out from Corey Good. He is the authority on this.
Well, I would think because they're such a high frequency that they're energy. And so like when we think about a blue avian being, you think of this tall being with feathers and wings and this extensive wingspan, right? And how could they get in this tiny little sphere? But meanwhile, they are energy, so they can compress their energy, come into this sphere-like, you know, figure and travel that way, I believe.
It makes sense. You know, and as far as like why they're here, like I did find one thing that was interesting. I've been mulling it over, where the spokesperson for the blue avians, kind of like, you know, we have spokespeople for our planet, for our country. They said they recently returned to our planetary system to give us a message freeing us from the influence of negative entities and negative extraterrestrials, like the reptilians, you know, things of that sort. So, we must be under more influence than we generally realize. Negative entities I'm well aware of, probably the negative ETs not as aware of, but there's plenty of people who are telling about that. I don't know, Roz and I have had some experiences where we see like a mask slips on a human and you see the reptilian face behind it. And it's horrifying. And it's always when you least expect it, like you're just going about your day and then, whoa, a reptilian, you know, and nobody else sees it. Well, Roz and I saw one together. We were sitting side by side and both of us just looked at each other. Right after, we were like, did you? Yes, I did. I saw that.
Did you catch that?
I think we have it on film, actually, somewhere, probably. Wow. It was filmed.
We might. Yeah.
Holy moly, we should check that and release it out to the world. Be aware, be aware.
Pretty interesting.
I know that they visited our world for thousands of years, maybe far longer than that, because of the different races that have these carvings, these paintings of these bird-like creatures. And there's a reason why it's in so many different cultures. You know, that happens with a lot of things. Have you noticed that? Like, and I think that's reassuring. It's kind of confirmation that this is actually happening, because why would it be in one country and not others? Why would they go, we're going to visit this country. You're so much more advanced. Let's go to Sweden. You deserve us. The rest of this planet, no, we're not going to visit you. It doesn't make sense. You know, they're going to go to
different people in all different countries who they can feel their frequency is high and they might make some headway with us. You know, maybe we're going to be able to receive more of the information. I like to believe that when we receive this telepathic information, that though we don't have it at our fingertips on a conscious level, that subconsciously we retain it and carry it forward. And somehow we're sharing it with the world, whether we know it or not. I don't know how.
I think that's very true. I mean, just because then this goes back to the situation where all of the people started arriving in my office. I would be somewhere and people would come up and talk to me. I was ill prepared for that because, you know, I'm just living my everyday life. And the amazing thing about it to me was how people would come and say, I was told to come see you and that you could give me activation. And I didn't even know what activation was at first. I'm like, okay. And interestingly, from that point on, you know, I actually had one of these people who came to see me, and she said to me, she contacted me the next day and said, I get what it is now. It's not anything you do. You are the frequency. You're the activation. And I'm like, all righty then. That's okay. Whatever, you know, whatever God wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do.
It's actually what made me think about that, Roz, that whole thing. And I think, wasn't that going down just before Terry Ann joined us?
Yeah.
I think so. So it was just like a wild time, because then the whole Terry Ann came to us is an amazing story to begin with. But that made me really start thinking about my experiences and just thinking, you know, whether people start coming to you or not, if a specific race of creatures, beings are coming to you and they're hovering, they're there with you for a period of time, you're receiving something. You are then sharing it with the people who you come in contact with. And maybe it's changing through you and the other people who are getting it, changing frequency of the planet little by little, that we don't know. And we don't, it's okay if we don't know. It's okay if we're not 100% aware of our involvement, but it's not about an ego thing. It's about, we want to be of service, you know, the people who want to be of service. So if this happens to you, take it as you're being chosen to be of service. You've raised your frequency enough that they can feel you. They know that you can help and they're going to do what they can and just let it happen. Again, as long as it's of the light, if it feels good like angels, that's a whole different story than something coming in and you're hearing the wah, wah. You know, that's never a good thing. Feeling terror, feeling like you're going to get sick. You know, those are all warning signs. Banish that. Banish that immediately. Anything else about the blue avians that you want to share today, ladies? Dead silence.
I just Darian's think we thinking. Have to, you know,
thinking.
Conscious. We have to be conscious.
You know, one thing we haven't really talked very much, and I think we should spend a good 5 minutes at least on it, is how does somebody know they're a star seed, a blue avian star seed, other than like the larger eyes, skinny limbs? Is there anything else, like how they are as a person, not just how they look?
Yeah, so they're interested a lot of times in science as well. This goes for a couple of different types of them. But for blue avians specifically, they're visionaries. They're very sensitive. Again, it goes for sometimes many different. They have a connection to birds. I thought that was really interesting. So if you like birds or birds come to you, I know several people actually, now that I think about it, that could just be sitting in the park and a bird will come up to them or just land on them, you know, which I always found fascinating. Telepathic. Uncomfortable in the body, which I have to agree, I don't like being in body either. healers, teachers, innovators, so really quantum physics, math, interested in those kinds of things. And then going back again to the unity consciousness, obviously, somebody that's very neutral in their thinking, that can see both sides of the coin, not somebody's like, oh, well, you're right or you're right, but somebody that's just very neutral.
And that's hard to find, I think. You know, for as many people as I read, it's pretty uncommon to meet somebody who you can tell has that ability to see everyone's side. Makes them a good mediator. Well, that's interesting. We talked about it a little bit, but would you say that of all the people who come to you to find out their starseed origins, is this one of the least common?
Yes. And I believe so. And I believe because there is such a high frequency, like angels, they probably come to more people than we know. And maybe people aren't recognizing it because they come as a blue sphere without mm-hmm. actually having a name or anything. So if you're not, involved or interested in any of that, that you might miss what that sign is.
That's so true of many things. I mean, I think back to experiences I've had since childhood, and a lot of it I feel like was wasted on me to a degree because I had no idea what was happening. But then it comes back to this thing of you are receiving something, and then you go about living your life, like Ross says, your day-to-day, everyday life, and you're emitting something you've absorbed out there to the people who you encounter. Even going to the grocery store, your frequency and what you carry, you share with the people who are around you. And so you are making a change. You know, there is something you're sharing out there. And I think that when you look back on experiences to the past, you'll start being able to put some pieces together of the different alien races that have come to you, interdimensional beings. And maybe you can even identify, this is why I'm reason number 2007, why I am a big believer in journaling. You can write the day, the time you experience something. And then you could also start making note of like, what changes did you notice with yourself, your view of the world, how you feel, what you experience as of that time. That's a good way to know what you received, what changes occurred around that time. So I have four decades of journals like that, that are just like every amazing thing that's happened, all of my psychic dreams, all of everything, just supernatural, paranormal, celestial that has happened. And I love reading back on those things. I highly recommend that for you. If you have questions about this episode, you can always reach out to us. You can ask a question on the YouTube channel. You can email us, and that email is in our show description on whatever platform you're enjoying this on. I want to talk briefly, Terri-Ann, would you like to show your book? Terri-Ann has a book, From Death to Life. It's a true story about her son, Anthony Joseph's death, and their incredible connection with him on the other side. And they're working on book two together now. So that's just an amazing, I've read it, love it. I have a book called Let Your Angels Lead, and it's about teaching you how to feel, hear, and see your angels so you can receive the maximum guidance from your angelic team. Tune in next week because our topic is healing a broken heart. I have a feeling this is going to be one that touches a lot of people who hasn't had their heart broken at some point in life. In the meantime, we hope that you have an enlightening week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.